May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Much is made of the quietness of Advent as the time of patient discernment. And while this is present, there is nonetheless a tension. Waiting is like that. The silence before a symphony, the dread in the dentist chair, the feedback you get on a microphone. Tension. These moments before the event are ripe with possibilities. And those possibilities beg us to imagine outcomes. The mind rebels against stillness. You can feel that tension in today's readings between the vision of the great kingdom that is moving towards us and the discipleship of patience in the face of suffering. And while both carry this theme of waiting, they are both pointing in different directions. Isaiah is pointing to something that is coming, and James is something that has come, and James is pointing to something that is coming. In this, we have the advantage over Isaiah. We know the Messiah. We know his story, his death, his resurrection. And we know that also that he's not the Messiah that was being expected. He was not the military leader that was going to become the emperor of all emperors and restore Judea to its crowning glory, not worldly speaking. We know he came as the pauper child in the backwoods of Nazareth. We read Isaiah knowing that these promises are fulfilled in the life of Christ, and we live into the world to make those promises real. James is pointing to the next part of the story, the patient abiding we have in earthly suffering while we wait for the return of Jesus, for him to come back and judge what kind of job we did when we lived into those promises. So there's a bit of tension there. And much of theology is about dispelling tension. G.K. Chesterton, for instance, writes that Christians are refugees by nature. And if one is living into the faith, then there should be that general sense of unease and unfamiliarity, a confusion with the ways of the world. We are living into a kingdom that is not our own. Ours is the kingdom come, the one we see over the horizon, like Moses or St. Stephen's. We glimpse the promised land and testify to it in a strange land that cannot comprehend. In this tension, we stand between the poles of Isaiah's promise and James's warning. And that's the tension of Christendom. And when I say Christendom, I'm not talking about an historical empire or geographic region that was ruled by bishops in Rome or Canterbury, but more of what Paul means when he says we become citizens of heaven and the practice of a life outside the Babylon understanding. When we talk about Jesus as the way, the truth, and the light, we talk about the same thing four times. Truth, not as a fact against false, as ironclad statements about the reality of the world, the chemical composition of elements, but about how you find your way, about what lights your path. Truth as a way of life. Isaiah calls it the way of holiness. And while that sounds like a tall order, the mercy is that we do not walk this way alone. The call of holiness is too heavy a load for any one pair of shoulders to bear. Salvation is a group activity. Or to put it another way, God is more interested in our social salvation than our individual salvation. I kind of do a bit of a chicken and egg thing there, because the question of which came first sort of rises, the individual or the collective, and like which gets saved first there. But with Christianity, it's important to remember that there is like a first cause, a prime mover, God. God takes the first step towards us in creation, and then he takes another step towards us in Jesus. So as we are called to imitate the life of Christ, we too take this first step as we step towards others, as we step to remember, to redraw back together the broken body of Christ in our life together. Some might take a bit of issue with that, and justifiably so. I'm not trying to undermine any kind of individual acts of faith in one's private prayer practice. Those things matter. Those things increase the life of faith and in turn increase the life of the church. But when we look at Scripture, when we look at the readings of Isaiah, we're looking at a prophetic text. And that's as God's answer to Israel, as something that has happened to God's people, as something that is happening to God's people, and as something that will happen as God's people. It happens all at the same time. We are in the middle. We are living into these prophecies. And as Oscar Romero said, we are prophets of a future not our own. I think that to prophesy, to be prophetic, we really have to see things from John's perspective. And by that I mean in prison. We have to accept that our starting point is that we see through bars, because that's where faith is kept these days. It is not a public issue. Faith is a very private affair. It does not belong in the boardrooms of the nation. Babylon has its own orthodoxy and is far less tolerant than most churches that I know. Our church, for instance, has never really been that married to orthodoxy. The defining aspect of Anglicanism has never been about doctrine, but about our shared life together. First, you belong, you participate in the life of the body of Christ. And from there, you explore what you believe. It's a remarkable turn in a society that really hungers to define everything. Think about the number of terms and conditions you accept every time you download a new app. Working with the poor, for those that have no place in Babylon, I can tell you that they do live as refugees. And every day we can see this more clearly as the number of tents and tarps increase in our city. They are undefined in the society because of how things are defined in Babylon, more by the weight of your wallet. And when your wallet is always being stolen, there's always, which is always the danger when you're sleeping rough, your place of belonging is very slight. The one real gift the church of the 21st century has to give the world is a place to belong, a place to call community, a community that lives into the tensions we've heard today, that makes real the presence of Christ as we struggle to see the promised land. Amen.